At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Admiral James Stavridis, United States Navy retired. His new book is To Risk It All, Nine Conflicts and the Crucible of Decision. We're taking lessons learned. We go now to lesson five, do not get emotionally involved. I jest with Jim, this seems to be a filter that admirals have to go through when they, because the examples in his book are Farragut and then Dewey learning from Farragut, and then Halsey in the Lady Golf, and actually through his career, the raid on the Marshals in 42, and certainly the Doolittle raid, and then Michelle Howard. Not get emotionally involved. What does that mean as an admiral, knowing you're going to be blamed if something goes wrong?
Well, let's start with the point that all of these stories give us, any of us, good lessons, because everyone sooner or later faces a moment where you must risk it all, be it at a mass shooting, be it standing on a beach when someone's drowning in front of you, be it when an ATV goes over the side on a mountain trail, you have to scramble down to help someone. Everyone faces these moments. And so I'll start by not describing how admirals don't get emotionally involved, but I'll quote from the greatest book of leadership ever written, and that would be The Godfather by Mario Puzo. Don't forget Don Corleone talking to Santino and saying, never make the mistake of hating your enemies. It clouds your judgment. And that is pretty germane in any walk of life. But yes, for admirals, it is certainly true. And you mentioned four of them. All of them, to one degree or another, need to detach themselves from the emotion of the moment. The one who fails to do so is Admiral, Fleet Admiral Bill Halsey, who becomes emotionally involved in what he sees as a competition with Admiral Ray Spruance. That emotion leads him to make a terrible mistake at the Battle of Leyte Gulf. The other admirals you mentioned all, I think, do a good job of staying detached in those moments of high risk. It's a crucial skill.
Admiral, I want to stay with Halsey because you immediately become, you tempt me, your team Spruance. Okay, so Chester Nimitz, the overall commander in the Pacific, knew that Bill Halsey had a personality that made him reckless at times, but he needed somebody who would always attack. I gave the examples of the Marshall Island raid, the Doolittle raid, taking over in Guadalcanal, and you present the fact that he was often not with a plan, not with luck, but just making decisions and keep making decisions. Is that emotional weakness on his part useful at times? Did Nimitz use that fact of his impulsiveness?
That's a very perceptive analysis and absolutely correct. And recall those early days of World War II, the nation is stunned. Our fleet has been destroyed in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. We need some wins. We need some victories. And there is a morale issue here. And Bill Halsey is perfect for that. I've spent a fair amount of time criticizing him, but let me tell you what he is very good at. He's very good at projecting confidence. He's very good at snappy phrases with the media. Your world, John Batchelor, would love to have a Bill Halsey today. His motto is hit hard, hit fast, hit often. He leads the Doolittle raid that strikes Tokyo and really gets one back for Team USA. So, yes, that's why Nimitz continued to support him despite his mistakes over the years.
And Admiral Howard, the demonstration of control necessary to lead that rescue of one man using a SEAL team these combination of tools that are available to the U.S. Navy. You can't be an expert in all of them, Jim. That's what I puzzle about. You've got to trust what you're told by your superiors, and you've got to trust the men and women you're giving orders to, and not take to heart the risk that they're in. Is that the way you think about it when you're making these decisions?
Absolutely. And Michelle Howard certainly is no Navy SEAL. She stands around 5 feet tall. She's an Annapolis graduate who is well known for her performances with the midshipman acting troupe. She is anything but a knife in her teeth. Take down the ship, a Stephen Decatur. That's not Michelle Howard. But what she is terrific at is team building, is bringing people together, at assessing their abilities and then delegating to the point of action. And I think that's the real lesson. And you do that without emotion. If you're going to be an admiral in the Navy, you're going to be the godfather of a crime syndicate, or you're going to be a citizen in a mass shooting. You need those kind of skills.
Stephen Decatur, this is pure heroism, the way Hollywood likes it. A man with a plan who executes. Now, this is an example of be prepared to change your mind. I'm talking about heroism. How did he change his mind? The scene is Tripoli. The period of time is early 19th century. Thomas Jefferson is the president. The Barbary pirates, the Navy still thinking about whether it's going to be a blue water Navy or a literal Navy, which is what Jefferson wanted. Stephen Decatur and his charge, Preble's boys, because his commander is Captain Preble. Stephen Decatur comes up with a plan to go into the harbor and cut out a captured merchantman warship, the Philadelphia, that has been captured by the pirates and is being held in under the cover of the guns. How does he provide an example of be prepared to change your mind, Jim?
Yeah, this is a great story. And Stephen Decatur is that Navy SEAL. You know, he is the individual with the knife in his teeth. He leads from the front. He puts his team together. He handpicks those who are going to come with him. They row with muffled oars through the harbor of Tripoli. They get on board Philadelphia. And the plan is quite literally to cut it out, meaning taking axes, cutting the mooring lines and getting the ship underway to get it back. What he discovers is time is against him. The alarm is raised and he realizes he's got to change his mind at this point. So he decides to burn the ship. And he does so using a combination of very smart moves by his team. And he burns it to the gunwales in the harbor. It strikes a blow for the U.S. Navy. It's a heroic episode remembered to this day. And it's an example of combining physical courage with that ability to change in the middle of the action. I always look at Stephen Decatur and think to myself, boy, I hope I have that kind of physical courage in a situation like that.
And again, Lloyd Bucher of Pueblo. This is an example of changing your mind with incomplete information. Lloyd Bucher is controversial to this day. And you note in one of your wonderful moments of playing squash with a senior figure in the U.S. Navy who sat on the board that held Pueblo, held Bucher responsible or not for giving up the Pueblo. The old Navy, I take it, the Navy, the big gun Navy of the early 20th century, believes that he made the mistake, he gave up the ship, and he deserved condemnation. Does the new Navy deal with that fact now, Jim? Has it changed?
I would argue that any captain has to make a rational decision, and it turns on whether or not you have means to resist. And I think in the case of Lloyd Bucher, he had exhausted the extremely tiny means he had. All he had were small arms. He had one 50 cal gun that was frozen solid in the dead of a North Korean winter. He had literally nothing to fight back with. It would have been suicide, and it would have meant the deaths of him and his entire crew, and the ship still would have gotten captured. So I think this is an example. It's not so much new Navy, old Navy. It's a question of Do we act rationally in a combat situation when there is no means of resistance? In my view, there is no shame at that moment in surrendering your crew or your ship if you do not have the means to resist.
The next example is overwhelmingly important to understand how you make decisions without preparation, without authority, without resources, without anybody telling you what to do. And so when we come back, we're going to speak of one of the most unusual moments in the attack on Pearl Harbor that the admiral mentions. This is Cook Third Class Doris Dory Miller, the USS West Virginia, December 7th, 1941. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.